Sins, and Father, sometimes we do fail you, and when we do, Father, we pray that you'll forgive us. Father, we're mindful of things that's going on in this country. Father, we pray for peace in this country.
Amen.
We're also mindful of the ones that protect this country, and Father, we pray that you be with them and keep them out of harm's way.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you continue to bless this congregation, and Father, we're grateful for the ones that serve and go overseas and spread your word. Father, we pray that your richest blessings be upon them. Pray that you'll be with us now and keep us safe. Forgive us when we fall short. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, Tom, since we have visitors with us this morning, we remind you all that as we take the Lord's Supper, you take the container and then you place it in the songbook rack afterwards. And you'll do that for both the bread and the fruit of the vine. And that will be good and good safety for us all.
Let's turn to number 591 in preparation for the Lord's Supper. Tis midnight and dawn, all is round. The star is dimly.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the love that you had for us in sending your Son here on this earth to die for us on the cross for our sins. Father, as we go back to the cross in our minds, help us to realize that all the things that he suffered for was for us. And as we partake of this love, Father, help us to remember him in such a way that, Father, it will help us to be better Christians in your kingdom. And, Father, help us never to forget our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed upon that cross for us. Again, Father, help us to examine ourselves and partake of this in a manner that is pleasing to thee. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, supper's ended. We now have an opportunity to give back, to carry on the work that's here at this place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the material blessings that we have in this life. We realize, Father, that all things come from you. Help us now to give back a portion of what we have earned, Father, to help care for those that are in orphan homes, to help those that have never heard the word, to help those that had disasters that happened to them, and Father, for all the things that we try to do here in your name. Thank you again so much for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have 20 present this morning. Today is March 14th, 2021, for taking purposes. Now, if you would, let's mark our songbooks at number 715. 715 will be the song of invitation after our lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 312. 312. Brightly beams
our Father's mercy from this light has evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the heights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning since the grave
once again, and you can see very clearly where we are today in regard to the question, do you have a dead faith or do you have a living faith? The Bible clearly talks to us in regard to a way of life that is not a dead faith, Dead faith has a man sitting in a chair, feet propped up. There's nothing to do. Dead faith does not love, John 14:24. It does not obey, 1 John 2:4. And does nothing, John 12:42-43. That is a way of life that is taught by most of the denominational bodies around us. Teach a way of faith and have that in mind, and that's the sum total of it. What does the Bible say about this subject? In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What do? If we love him, we do what he said. We're people filled with faith that he is telling us that if we are people who believe in him, we'll be pleasing to God. In John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe that I am he, but if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Sad it is to be the case that we find ourselves doing that way of life. We want to believe. And as we do this, in Galatians 5:6, it tells us regarding the works of our lives that we do by faith. Believing that that is the practice that God has told us to do will be blessed of God. But if we find ourselves not believing in it, then we find ourselves not doing the will of God. Sarah is given as an example back in Hebrews 11. Regarding the fact that she was told by God of a son that would come to her past the age of delivering children. And that she believed him who promised her. She believed in the promise of God. She was past the age. Abraham laughed about the idea. She laughed about the idea too, though she denied. I didn't laugh. But the angel said, yes, you did. And she now turned her faith into believing what the Lord had said. And there is a son of promise, Isaac, who comes about. And what does Isaac mean? It means laughter. So every time they called the name of that little boy as he grew up, and they called the name of laughter. They remembered the laughter idea that he wouldn't be there at all. His mother was too beyond the years of bearing children. So was his father too beyond the years of producing children. But God gave strength to both of them because they believed, as they should, in God. And when he told them that they would have a child and that he would be a blessing, that is exactly what they believe would take place, and they were blessed of it. When we're people who do the work of God, we find ourselves obeying the Lord. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus plainly notes that very thing. If we're people who obey the Lord, we find ourselves obeying him by believing what he had to say and putting into practice what he has to say. What did he have to say about faith in him? Well, we've already noted in John 8:24, how Jesus said, you must believe that I am he, or you would die in your sins. What about repentance in Luke 13:3-5? I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He's talking to a group of people at that time. And as a result of their believing that certain people were destroyed because the tower fell upon them, because they were wicked people, Jesus said, I tell you, nay. Now, they didn't die because of that reason. But except you repent, ye will likewise perish. There should be people who did have that faith in him and belief in him regardless of what they were thinking about in their own philosophies. When Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father who is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I would deny you before the Father who is in heaven. What did he say about doing his will? If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father who's in heaven. I'll tell the Father your name. I'll give the Father your ideals and your man. You have a faith in this confession that you should have. And so it is that at the time of one's baptism into Christ, we find opportunity to obey the Lord and be all that He would have to be. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, what we have to say. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If he that believeth not will be condemned. Well, note in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. What can we do if we do not believe? We cannot do a thing that pleases God. What about our sending money to missionaries? Without faith, what does it do? It does nothing for us. We cannot please God without that faith. Believing that we support that man who goes out and takes that word and teaches that message, if we believe it, then good will be done. When Brother John Pig was with us a few weeks ago and talking about the work down in Mexico, last week he noted that there were 10 down there among the work that they were doing that have been baptized into Christ just last week. 10 more obeyed the gospel down there. We prayed to that end. We believed in that end. And because of that, there was a blessing that came to that particular work. John believed in it. And he saluted the brethren here at Crockett for praying that way, to believe that good was going to be done. What a blessing. But you'll notice in Mark 16, 15 and 16, when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That baptism was a part of that whole plan because of that word and. He that believeth and, a coordinating conjunction. You studied that in the third grade. I did in the third grade. That teacher taught us that things of equal rank or equal importance are joined by coordinating conjunctions. So when you say this and, it matches up with two things at least. Maybe more than two. But in this particular instance, in those two things of faith and baptism into Christ, we find a new way to walk. What a blessing we have when we do that. If we find ourselves obeying the Lord, we'll find in James 2 and at verse 22, I wanted to read this morning. Seest thou how that faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? There's a perfected faith that comes about, and there's a dead faith that comes about. If we have a perfected faith, it is a faith that is obedient to what the Lord has said. What we read in the Bible, that's what we understand the Lord to say to us. And as we practice that, we're blessed. But if we do not practice that way of life, we're not perfected in that faith. We're not complete in that faith. Complete in that faith means that we have a faith that we believe in and that will cause us to be perfected in that faith. In James 2 at 24, he says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Not by faith only, but justified by works. What kind of works? The kind of works described in the pages of the Bible are works that are described about man's righteousness as the way of God. And what I want to do is leave this morning, and let me see what I can do with this one now, up here. I can put him down. Alright, I can put him down. Alright, and I can go down here to the one that I've saved this morning, and I can put him up. No. Did I not have him right? Right here. Now then. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, I find various translations of that verse of Scripture that have been set out. You'll notice the ABP is Apostolic Bible Polyglot with Strong's numbers to it, done years and years ago. And notice what he says about in him. I was just floored by this right here. And I should be found in him, having not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the one righteousness that is belief of Christ in the righteousness under belief. What a good thing it says there. In the American Standard Version of 1901, he says, and to be found in him. Now I've got a question to ask about you. What does Romans chapter 6 say about how to get into Christ? We'll go there in a minute. In the BBE, that's right up here, the Bible in Basic English, translated in 1965. It says there, and be seen in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm in Christ and I believe in the right things to be done. How do we get into Christ? In this particular one, the CEV, it's contemporary English version. And it was a translation that was done, and to know that I belong to him. I cannot make myself acceptable to God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ. Faith outside of Christ? No. Faith that is in Christ is what he's talking about. All right. There are various other ones that go through the years. And they all say the same thing. Notice what he says in the King James Version of 1611, and to be found in him. How do we get into him? The Revised Version of 1952, and be found in him. Not having righteousness of my own, but that which is of the law. But that which is through faith in Christ. Not out of Christ, in Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. I have faith in Christ that my faith in him is made to be an act of righteous conduct. Not my own righteousness, it's his. Notice all of the translations that we have here listed. And they all note to us this following thing. Not a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which arrives from faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God through faith. In Romans chapter 6, he writes, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were buried with him by baptism into his death, a burial, and raised to walk in newness of life? How did they get to this point of which in Philippians 3 and verse 9, he tells them that in Christ you found the righteousness of God that saved you from your sins. How did you do that? How did you find that? How were you that way? And that's what he says regarding that way of life. We find a way in which we find
a way to do that is righteous and good and helpful. And faith found in Him, that is united by Him by a living faith. An idea that when the investigators of the great day shall take place, and in regard to the ground of salvation, it might be found that he that united with to the Redeemer depended solely on his merits for salvation. Not having my own righteousness, that is not relying on myself for salvation, but relying on the Lord, which is of the law. Of course, the law idea was the idea of them being people who were part of the old law of Moses. And he's saying that which is through faith of Christ, righteousness which is of God by faith. And where is that faith to be found? In Him. And what did Paul write in Romans 6? That we get into Him. Don't you remember that when we were baptized into Christ, we were made new? What a belief that is, and what an idea that is for us today. This is a living faith. And when we have that faith in the Lord, as he writes in 2 Peter 1, add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. He's not saying that once you do this, you can forget about it. You can have this faith, but then it's replaced by virtue. And virtue is replaced by knowledge. And knowledge is replaced, no. They're all to be a part of that great plan whereby we grow in the Lord, we become people serving the ways of the Lord, and as we read this morning in the book of Romans in chapter 14 in reference to this matter, we're to be people who show charity unto others as we differ with them. We're to be loving people, kind to others, kind to people that with whom we differ. That's why I can preach out of kindness. And I can ask people to look in the Bible and see what I'm saying here. And as a result of that, obey the Lord. Be part of His work. And be raised to walk in newness of life. What a blessing it is to be with you today and to study with you from this idea of a living faith or a dead faith. Do we have a living faith that puts into practice that, and that justification then comes about? Would you come to Jesus and obey Him as we stand together and sing together?
Will you come, will you come with your poor broken heart, burdened in sin oppressed, lay it down at the feet of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give
to this time in our budget. Thank you for being here today.
and hopefully you enjoy this lesson still.
Let's turn to number 426, 426, and after this song, J.L., would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children in
disconnected.
I don't have to disconnect it. It's right there. Sorry, I have to do a slide.